everyone, I'm Jay.
And I'm Scott, and welcome to Witches Betwixt.
Today, we are going to be talking about masculine and feminine. Well, really, the divine masculine, the divine feminine, masculine, feminine. How do we view it, and how do we work with it?
Right, yeah. The basic concept of polarity in pagan and magical traditions.
And the space between.
And this, right. Mm-hmm. Which I think would be a good point to start off with is that maybe the spaces between are not as easily acknowledged in occultism.
That is true. That is very true. So generally with most magic, and even the religion of paganism, Wicca, you have your gods and you have your goddesses, you have your masculine energy and you have your feminine energy. Is generally how this works. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It just, no. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
There is a space in between the two, which I think personally, like us as queer witches, I think we do tend to navigate that space more easily and more naturally, and sometimes without intentionally doing it.
Right. And I think that's just because as queer identifying people, we automatically look at masculinity, femininity as interpretable experiences.
Yes.
So they're completely based upon what it is that our own experiences. They're based on our own lives and how we how those energies, I suppose, move through us individually.
Absolutely. There definitely is a space in between, which I think queer people tend to navigate. So. First, I think it's important to start off with our own polytheistic views, because We're going to be talking a lot about gods and goddesses, god work, goddess work.
And energy. I'll be talking a lot about energy, but yeah. Yeah.
So, I guess you want to start off with...
Yeah, just because view. Mine's, I suppose, a little bit, different. Mm-hmm. I consider myself a pan-polytheist and animist. What I simply mean by this is I've always had this concept of gods and goddesses that they exist. How do I put this? The universe itself is a unifying force, a all-encompassing, maybe not necessarily a thinking deity, mm-hmm. but a feeling deity.
It's a force.
Yeah. And from that, spirits and gods are born.
Mm-hmm.
But so technically are we.
Right.
In Hermetic philosophy, they believe that nothing can exist outside of God.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, and in my interpretation of that is including the gods.
Yeah.
So that's where my pantheism comes in, at the universe itself is divine. However, once again, it is beyond gender. Or maybe it's both genders and no gender at the same time.
And then I would
you
say,
get what I'm saying?
I think it would be fair, it's transcended the point of gender.
Right.
There's no, it just is.
Right, exactly.
It just is.
And that's where, however, we come into, as far as how I interpret masculine and feminine deity. I am more of a harder polytheist, so I do believe that deities have a singular autonomy. I will say that, much like people, I view the spirit world much like this world.
Mm-hmm.
There are as many different kinds of deities as there are people. So there are definitely maybe cisgendered deities, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Not to sound silly. And just as there would probably be deities who maybe have appeared in mythology and folklore as, you know, definitely something other than male or female, which has happened.
Which is definitely going to be an entire podcast episode.
It will. Which I'm not going to let that...
Queer folklore mythology as a teaser. It is coming.
It is. And we're super excited about it.
Yes.
So when it comes to them, I mean, I've always felt them... Well, one, you have to remember they exist as energy. You know what I'm saying? The gods exist on a plane
that we cannot comprehend.
Not like, you know, I mean, we could probably travel to the spirit world and meet them, but like, as far as the nature of their existence,
we don't exist on that plane.
I would say the nature of their existence we can't comprehend.
Right.
At least that's how I would say that.
Well, you always said to me that you sort of view this as you also walk alongside gods.
Right.
Bow down to them. You don't. Like, you honor them and you respect them.
I have, like, I would say I worship them, just not in the way you think of worship.
Not like, I am not worthy. It's not like that.
Right. I'm not belittling myself to get their attention. Right. I worship them out of respect because they work with me and they aid me in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why I worship them.
That makes sense.
Now, when they come to me, however, sometimes it's not even always like, it's not always like an omen. Like, it's not even always like an animal that will come to me, like, as I'm praying, or like an animal that I'll see out in nature, or nothing even big like that. Sometimes it's just a presence, something,
a
like a feeling, yes, an undistinguishable feeling in which you kind of know it's a man, or you know it's a woman. So I suppose for deities, for me, I've always maybe experienced more of that polarity.
Mm-hmm.
I have experienced queer entities, or like queer, I suppose, like something othered, something. It doesn't feel masculine, it doesn't feel feminine. I don't know what that experience was,
mm-hmm.
but I have been there.
Well, I think what I'll do is, before you get more into that, I'll just share my polytheistic views.
Okay.
So you're like a hard polytheistic.
Mm-hmm.
More like animism kind of thing.
Right, which also plays, yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I never even had a term for it until you told me what it was. I'm more of a soft polytheist in the sense that, I also share your same concept of the universe itself being divine. It is what it is. It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our understanding. But it is within our manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Is basically how I view that. So I do believe in sort of like, I hate to say it, the force, but you know what I mean? Like this one cosmic force,
mm-hmm.
this one cosmic energy. I believe in that. However, I do believe that there is a divine masculine, a divine feminine, like a god, a goddess figure, maybe not like a person, but you know what I mean? Just like an entity. There's a divine masculine, divine feminine entity. And from them are all the gods as we know them, like Athena versus, you know, every time I want to name a god, I can't think of a damn name. But like
Odin,
right? Okay, so like different pantheons, but all still aspects of the divine masculine,
mm-hmm.
the divine feminine, is essentially how I view it. So for me, that helps me understand, you know, so if I am invoking, you know, Aphrodite for some reason, someone else can also be invoking Athena for some reason. That's what helps me, like, because it's just all aspects are one,
mm-hmm.
divine feminine. And that's how I view it. In terms of the space between, I just feel like that's not necessarily, I feel like, I almost like feel like there may be some gods out there and entities that are unknown to us, because I feel like that's totally valid. I feel like, you know, just because we have it written that there are X amount of gods, that does not mean that there aren't more.
I mean, we historically
there aren't new ones.
We've historically, I mean, found pictograph and statuary that would be considered gods that were, this is where that animism comes in at, where there was gods of, like, the land.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the land itself had a god.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, a particular mountain that maybe looked like something or was particularly large. They would have saw that a god lived in that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those agricultural deities, those deities from a very agricultural society, did get lost over time. So there are, like, forgotten deities whose names no longer exist that were lost.
Yeah, because I think, like, in one of the rituals that we had done with the coven, I had put this line in, I think it was in the circle casting, I think it says something about, like, you know, powers of the spirits old and new, known and forgotten. So, you know, I just, I believe that, you know, there are infinite gods. There are infinite goddesses. There is infinite manifestations of the universal divine.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially how I view that. Just
right.
Infinite manifestations of that. So, yeah, that's my polytheistic view. All gods are one god. All goddesses are one goddess. And there's a lot of stuff in between that is everything else.
Right.
Is
right.
How I view that. So, that's just to set a premise for you guys, just to understand, like,
mm-hmm.
our different views on it, because it does affect our opinions and how we see things, but we're also not going to have a knockdown drag out about it, because
it's just not what we're here to do. Plus, we've come to the conclusion that hardly matters.
And we really do settle on that one, like, the universe itself being divine. So I feel like that's where we really connect.
Yeah.
When it comes
to either way. Plus, it doesn't really matter. Even if me and you were to invoke, like, a deity together, and you just saw that as divine masculine, but I saw it as that deity,
mm-hmm.
we're still getting the work done.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Still,
so, like,
it's still valid. It still works.
But anyway, so that's as far as, like, I mean, deity goes.
Yeah,
I mean, like, you know, now, interestingly enough, my interpretations of masculine and feminine actually completely change when talking about, like, earth spirits, like fairies and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there are, like, fairy queens and fairy kings and things like that, and it's, you know, historically we find that in poetry and things, I find that it the feeling of those spirits is very different. Especially
feel
like
gods.
Not necessarily
of gods versus, like, land spirits.
I mean,
fairies is very
so a lot of them were once gods, so some of them I personally would interpret as, but it's more about the nature of them
mm-hmm.
that I would say I interpret differently. I find that clearly defined spirits, like, I work with a particular goddess who was considered a fairy queen, who is kind of my witch mother. She is the Scottish Hecate. She is McNevin.
McNevin, yeah.
And she, you know, after my relationship with her, everything really picked up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel her presence a lot in my life. And you know, so it's not to say that I don't get, like, female energies from her, but I'm talking more about, like, things like elementals and those kind of, like, amorphic things, or even, like the idea of, like, daemons,
mm-hmm.
Daemons, the Greek idea, which is where I kind of go with, like, angelic and infernal realms.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, there's even though they have gendered in text, I always find that I feel them very ungendered when I've worked with them.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost more like it was just a form that they take. They don't, and it's just interesting because if you look in Christian mysticism, like, the angelic realms are supposed to be, the idea is that they're supposed to be so beautiful as in horrifying, but like awe-inspiring, but in the old definition of the word. It's like multiple wings with eyes and, like, in a circle, you know, like the seraphim and stuff like that. Like, so they're supposed to be bestial.
There's too much to behold, right?
Which is why in Christian mythology you're not allowed to behold angels,
right.
Except for, like, the lower choirs.
Mm-hmm.
And that concept, I feel like, is where that I don't acknowledge or I don't sense them as a gendered being.
Mm-hmm.
They come with a presence, but I feel like, once again, that presence is still othered. You know what I'm saying? That presence, you know, they still, for me, spirits, I think we both agree that spirits have an autonomy. So, like, you know, they still come with their own presence, but maybe that is what it would feel like if you were to be, like, queer on the other side, if you will.
Huh.
Maybe.
That's a lot to think about.
Maybe. I mean, I'm just kind of talking, but.
That's pretty cool. I'm kind of down with that, thinking about that. That's going to fuck me up.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to be on the train home, like, Ah, okay, yeah. Okay, I'm gonna call you. Hey, listen, what did you mean by but yeah, so yeah, I mean, there's definitely a sense of otherness when working with spirits. But I mean, again, you're also way more sensitive to those sorts of things, like spirits of place and things like that. Like I acknowledge that they're there, but I don't always feel them. They don't, and then but I also feel like they also don't make their presence known to me.
I also feel like though, like, and this is just as your friend, you don't give yourself enough credit. You don't get, you have become so increasingly clairvoyant just in like the past couple of years that we finally, past year.
I don't notice it though. Like, I really don't.
But it's funny because in the moments when it's, when we're talking, not to digress, guys, but in the moment when it's, like, when we're actually talking about it, you're, like...
on.
Yeah. So I think it's you just kind of maybe turn it, like, tune it out. And then when it's time to go into it, you're able to do that.
Maybe.
But that's, I don't want to, you know, digress too much, but...
It's all about me, this episode. My clairvoyant abilities. So... I guess this really brings us to our one of the main questions of this podcast.
Yeah.
How do you view masculinity? It could be, we could be talking about through magic, through deity, through this plane, like what,
like mundane,
is masculinity to you? How do you view it?
All right.
It's
so
a very loaded question.
I'm going to
ask you the same about femininity.
I want to start this off with the quote we were talking about. And this isn't a quote. I don't remember where I got it from, but I remember I loved it and I've been using it for years. It's not even really a quote. I'm more like kind of paraphrasing. But anyway, for queer people, though I always say gay men. For gay men, they have to define their own masculinity, where unlike straight men, it's almost sort of pre-written for them.
It's given to them.
Given, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and for gay men, especially gay men who maybe, you know, I know this is incredibly controversial, but the idea of, like, mask or straight acting, which has, it's incredibly problematic otherwise, but, I really do think that, one, it, like you said, it means a lot of different things in different contexts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're talking about, like, my ideas of, like, worldly masculinity, I think maybe it's someone who can get the job done. Someone who is maybe unafraid to confront problems. But I feel like femininity can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I kind of get really confused. Like, just because I'm like, each has a passive and an aggressive. That's my problem.
Mm.
I have masculine and femininity, but then I look at them even further down into other two sub, which is a passive and an aggressive.
Mm.
So, like, there are, like, passive male qualities, and there are aggressive male qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Passive feminine qualities, aggressive feminine qualities. So an aggressive male quality would be men who are, in my opinion, maybe competitive. I see competitive men,
mm-hmm,
as more of an aggressive. Not aggressive necessarily in negative, although it could be. Anything.
Yeah, I was
could
just
be,
gonna ask, do you view that as a negative thing?
Anything can be negative.
Yeah,
anything
true.
Can be negative or positive on either side.
Being competitive is good and bad.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's definitely more of an aggressive standpoint.
Well, yeah.
I am very passive. I take a very opportunistic approach to things. So, like, if I see an opportunity, I have no problem, like, with, like, two, like, the metaphor of people over here talking about it,
mm-hmm,
and I'm like,
that's like, let me just reach in here and just, yep.
While you're talking about it, you know? So but that's incredibly passive, and I don't have the word for what that would be called, but, like, I'm not competitive, I'm more of the opportunist, not that that's,
Well, I think I'll just kind of piggyback off of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like how you said, you know, gay men have to sort of define and find their own,
mm-hmm,
masculinity. So I think the same can be said of trans men or just queer men in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we just want to make a blanket statement like that, because so for example, like being like a cisgender gay man, you were still socialized as male.
Right.
Still socialized that same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, play baseball and do this. Football,
yeah.
Yeah. Which is also, I think we also need to point out that we live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the United States of America. That's our culture. That's our male culture here.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily true for everywhere in the world. So this is just our localized experience.
Yeah.
But say you take trans men. I'm just going to say we trans men, I am trans men, okay? We are socialized as female in our localized version of what is considered to be female. So I was allowed to be boyish. Like, it was okay that I wanted to play sports, and it was okay that, you know, like, I was more of a dork than anything, you know, I just wanted
to. But it was okay
to
be a bit of a tomboy.
It was okay to be a bit of a tomboy. It was okay.
Yeah.
Up until a certain age.
Yeah.
When it wasn't cute anymore. And then that was when, you know, basically puberty. Basically, like between 9 and 12 years old, 9 to 13, that range where it's like, it's not cute anymore. You know, you gotta get out of the boy clothes. You know, how will boys like you if you don't, you know? So I feel like, but it was interesting because for me growing up, I felt like instead of, I was trying to force myself into finding what defined me as female, as feminine. But really, I was searching for what defines me as male.
Yeah.
Because that's what I clung to more. And really, we could deconstruct it to a point where we're just sitting here saying nothing. Because we could be like, well, what is masculine? What is feminine? You know, is it toys? Is it clothes? Is it just, you know, is it just marketing and whatever we do? We could deconstruct it down that far, but... You know, I do think there is a clear thing that our society has set up that says, this is a masculine thing, and this is a feminine thing. And this is, like, a kind of in-between thing. But I think that, you know, as a young trans boy growing up, even though I didn't come into that identity.
But it was always there.
It was just
that you had to acknowledge it.
I had to... My boyhood was gone by the time that I had come out as trans. Mm-hmm, so I never had the opportunity to be socialized as male, to have those expectations, to say, you know, you're going to find a beautiful girl and make her your wife and have some kids and get a good job and support the family. Because, again, that's our culture and that's what's expected of men in this particular area. So, you know, that was never an expectation. It was marry rich and find you a good husband. So, you know, it's good that you're smart and you can use your brain, but, you know, you can also marry rich too. It's fine. And basically have a man take care of you.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was strange because me and my sister were also, like, again, we were both kind of tomboyish and we were raised to be independent. But also at that same time having that, like, find a man, marry rich, and have him take care of you kind of thing. Because you're a princess and you deserve to be taken care of.
Right.
Versus with men, it's like, well, she's your queen, you know, and you have to take care of her. But then there's also this, like, other concept of, like, well, you're also taking care of her, so she kind of owes you one. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's, like, a lot of layers.
It's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hence feminism, which is why feminism is there, thankfully.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So, I just think, just overall, like, I had missed out on that boyhood. So, now, as an adult, I'm trying to figure out, I think I just have to kind of let go of the fact that I never knew what it was like to be a boy.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, I just have to figure out what it's like to be a man. So, I'm taking these very stereotypical concepts, and I'm trying to apply them to myself. Like, for example, like, I had taken my partner out to, like, her and her friends, like, we had gone out for a birthday celebration over the weekend, and I was like, do I pay for this? I don't know. I have no idea, because they're viewing me as male. Like, I'm a man. So I'm like, oh my god, like, do I pay for all this? So initially, I had set this goal in my head. I was like, all right, I'm not going to do this initially. I'm not going to pay initially. Because I don't know if they're going to order, like, $1,000 worth of, like, drinks. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I just waited until everyone, like, because we had all gotten, like, separate checks. So I'd wait until everyone had ordered their food and gotten their drink. And then I was like, okay, I can afford this. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And that made me feel like a man. Is that a weird thing to feel? Like, I don't know, because it's such, like, a stereotype thing.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
But I felt good about it.
Right.
It made me feel good. It made me feel like the type of man that I am and that I aspire to be.
You want
to
know something interesting? I mean, I am cisgender. I am a cisgender gay man. However, I have found that I am more feminine, like, a lot more than most of my partners. Mm-hmm. You know, I am definitely, like, a nurturer and, like...
You're a mama bear.
I really am a mama bear. I really am a mama bear. Do you have enough food? Let me cook for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need any medicine? Do you feel okay? That's me completely.
Yeah.
And I always find that... men that I end up in relationships with always have the need to pay for me.
Oh, so you find more mask?
I guess. I don't want to use that word just because it makes me angry. Not at you, but in general.
I know.
But I do find, even with that, my partner Darian.
Or maybe more assertive types.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Definitely more assertive.
You like more assertive types.
I don't mean to. I don't seek it out. I really don't care about the, like, feminine, masculine expressions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my boyfriend identifies as bisexual, and there are moments where
identify as cis?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cisgender, heterosexual.
Yeah.
But there are moments where, you know, the hip drops and, you know, and he gets more feminine and, you know, and then there are moments where, you know, he's very dudely, I guess, and very, you know, stereotypically.
He's a dude
bro. Maybe not dude bro-y, but he definitely gets more manly and assertive, especially, like, when it's kind of, like, I'm very wishy-washy and, you know, like, I mean, but of course, I do the same thing to him sometimes. There are times where I have to be the decision maker.
Mm.
But for a lot of men, that could be their significant others. But I wonder if a lot of this is societally imposed. And, like, it's, like, a psychological thing.
Yeah, I almost feel like we have, I don't know, like, there's a lot of expectations.
There are.
Of men. There's a lot of expectations of women, too.
Oh.
Yeah. But there's a lot of expectations of men. And
equally, I would say.
Yes. But I think in terms of trans men, there is an expectation that, all right, you gotta make up for what you lack.
Yeah.
And I think that's fucked up.
Oh, it is. It's completely.
I think it's totally fucked up. I try to filter that out. You know, that's it is kind of toxic masculinity in a way. It's like, all right, cool. All right, so you're slamming that testosterone shot in your leg. You gotta go to the gym. You gotta bulk up. Could you imagine me at 5 feet tall, like, with gigantic muscles? I would look ridiculous. I would look ridiculous. Plus, being a beefcake does not fit my personality. But that's expected. Like, you gotta bulk up and you gotta look good.
I mean, like, have you ever been on Instagram and saw, like, the trans male models, the trans male Instagram models?
Yeah, they look like
they are
gods.
All, like, yeah, they're all Adonis level.
Yeah.
Like, fucking gorgeous.
And, like, no, like, almost, like, no surgery scars or anything. Like, it's, hey, whatever, bless.
I mean,
you
I've seen some with surgery
but,
scars, but yeah.
Yeah, but, like, you know, you look gorgeous and everything, but, man, that is not true of every man. And even, like, with cis men, it's not true.
That's a big problem with queer men. In general, whether you are gay, bisexual, or trans man.
Like, too fat, too thin, not enough muscle, you know, like,
we
some
have
people
a,
don't like muscle
I mean,
at all.
We can obviously make a whole podcast about that in and of itself, like, body image in the queer community.
Yeah, for sure.
Which we might.
Probably should.
We should. Definitely should. However, you know, that does play a part in what we're discussing right now.
Yeah, it does.
Because you're seen as less of a man if you're
not muscular.
Right. Muscle equals manhood.
Yeah. So I think that comes back to, like, viewing what we consider the, you know, some water. I'll share.
Thank you.
I know I saw your cup was empty. I think that comes back to that because, I mean, I'm going to be honest, right out the gate, when I think of the divine masculine, I'm thinking the strong, horned god of the forest. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's my instant headcanon, I guess. That's where I go.
You want to know something? God, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that's where I go. And then when I think of the divine feminine, I think of, you know, a very, like, svelte body, very sort of like not skinny, but like not super thick, but like
that,
thin
like a like that, that
and flowy and
the athletic.
Athletic, woman. Yeah, like a very athletic build. And for some reason, she's very tall. I just think of just tall.
Tallness is a thing.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, that's actually mythologically something that did occur.
Oh, really?
Tallness of the gods, they would be taller than us.
Yeah. So I think of tallness, and I just think of. Like, almost like she's wearing, I picture a human body. This is what I picture. So, almost just like silvery, almost translucent sort of robes, sort of thing. That's like the divine feminine that I go to. In terms of like skin color, it varies for me. She could be anything. When I think of it, like all different like shades of skin tone, but definitely for the divine masculine, he's very animal. He's not really human at all.
Right.
He's very animal, and he's usually like just there's no clothes, there's no robe, there's no nothing. He's just I'm here. Hey.
And it's funny that you say that because
it's very Wiccan of me to think of it that way. But
not really though. I mean, the way I see. The Horned God, who is a deity that I work with Coven and outside of Coven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would call him like also like the Witch's Devil, things like that. I guess like a prayer, an invocation that calls that the Horned God the Divine Androgyne. And I love, that's why I kind of love the depiction of Baphomet. With the breasts and the phallus.
Yeah.
Because that.
Yeah.
That, when I see the Horned God, that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it may be a little bit more complex than that for me, especially because the fact that I'm much more of the animus part of me, and I see him as a god of, like, the primal earth, you know, that something before, you know, like, even when man was still homo, like, erectus, mm-hmm. you know, like, that kind of, like, yeah, that kind of, like, heartbeat of the earth, that kind of, like, roots
right,
and
but
bone
almost
stone
not,
and
but almost like nonverbal.
At times, but also
I
the,
view
but
him
it's,
as
it's,
very stoic and nonverbal.
It's funny because even like because firstly we're talking about being like in particular the Horned Deity, the Horned God has had this. I will say I can meet you somewhere with this is because the Horned God has had many faces and he's had many names.
Mm-hmm.
However. In essence, the Horned God is the King of Kings. He was supposed to be the King of the Gods.
Okay, so he's supposed to be
cases.
The big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he himself was, you know, whatever. You know, he was all of that, or it was all of that. They are, were, whatever. So when I see the Horned Deity, I think that. I think of something that is, I guess, hermaphroditic in nature.
Hmm.
Having both male and feminine parts, having, although somehow a very masculine voice when he does speak to me.
Mm.
So it's interesting. And then as far as Nick Nevin is concerned, Nick Nevin isn't human. She's
right.
She's depicted, you know, like Geyer Carlin, which is a powerful fairy figure.
Mm.
She, to me, has like a bluish gray skin and long pointed ears. And she wears this interesting gown with kind of like shoulder plates almost,
mm-hmm.
very ornate, that kind of fit to a womanly bosom.
Mm-hmm.
However, her fingers are very long and she has very long nails and her
mm-hmm.
face is not his humanoid. She's older than that. They are both older than humanity.
Right, so there's no need for them to look like humans.
Right.
Because we weren't even thought about at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
And the development of things. You know, like her gown looks like a gown of if liquid mercury was a fabric.
Oh, that's like a beautiful and terrifying description at once.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. when she like, and that's interesting because it's not what I've always said. She comes to me in two different ways. If I am conscious, if I am not in like a meditative state,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not traveling to the spirit world, she is very much kind of like still with the skin tone, but there's like sticks and twigs in her hair, and
mm-hmm.
there's like bones around her neck, and she's very much like that woods witch, you know, like that stereotypical.
Witch of the woods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I travel, that's when I see this much more like humanoid, although she's always humanoid, but that what I just described is what I truly believe is her truest self.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that when I'm in my conscious state of being, when my consciousness is active, still active, and I can't put that aside, I see her as something I can comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was, you know, smoking, and that's when I was able to do that meditation, and
that would be a good podcast topic too.
Hallucinogens,
substances, and
mm-hmm.
yeah,
ethnogens and witchcraft. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Call them ethnogens just because.
I'm just gonna write substances.
Okay.
Just because I'll remember.
Okay, I'll make sure we just label it as ethnogen.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, my experience with deity, as far as that is concerned, is it is very animal. Like you said, it's very bestial, it's very animal. So, like I said, this is why...
But what's interesting for me is mm-hmm. When it comes to feminine energy, it's very humanoid. It's always humanoid, always. When I just think of the divine, like the epitome of the feminine, it's, you know, like this beautiful woman, athletic build and all. But the other aspect of femininity that I absolutely love is like war goddesses.
That.
I love warrior goddesses. They are just, they're incredible.
And that's what I was talking about the passive and aggressive female in the mat. And, you know, just like how, like in some cultures, there were moon gods.
Mm-hmm.
And the aggressive deity was the female creator or the female other half.
Mm-hmm.
Like Apsu and Tiamat in, I think they were Canaan, I believe, or Canaan. People call it Canaan. It's actually pronounced Canaan. But he was the sweet waters. He was the order. She was the chaos. Tiamat was the chaos. That's why I acknowledge masculine, feminine, but passive and aggressive in each.
Yeah, I feel like both energies do have... Yeah, you're right. There is a lot of passive-aggressive... Wow, maybe humans are just meant to be passive-aggressive. Maybe that's where we're just designed. You know?
I mean passive and aggressive, but I am very passive-aggressive as a person, but that's a whole other thing.
But it's like I was saying with war goddesses, or just, mm-hmm. like, those goddesses that, you know, take no prisoners. You know, they're very, like... they're there for you.
Like, in a very, like, soldier kind of way.
Yes.
They're not a mother.
They're not going to mother you or nurture you. They're not going to say, oh, it's okay.
Get
like,
up. They're going to say, get up.
Get up right now. And you're like, but I can't. And they're going to say, well, I'm going to leave you here then. If you can't get up, I can't work with you.
They're always, like, right there, though.
Uh-huh.
They do it almost to make you
mm-hmm.
get up.
Yeah. And actually, what's interesting is, like I said this, I think it was like in the first episode, when I had first started my practice, it was largely dyadic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even want to acknowledge, you know, male energy. But now, as I work with these, when I do work with like female energy, mm-hmm. like the divine feminine, I feel a sense of them pushing me off. They're like, stop. Like, we like you. We love you. Bless. Thank you. Thank you for your service. But you really need to go talk to those guys. Like, you need to talk to the guys now. Like, it's time for you to really start working with them. Because I do feel a huge sense of intimidation. Because of, it's almost like, it's like you're trying to join a club. It's like you're trying to join, like, I guess because I'm looking at it through, like, a trans man's perspective of, like, I struggle every day to actually feel like a man versus trying to be a man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I struggle with that. So even in my personal practice, I've been struggling with that because I'm trying to, like, you know, like, I'm connecting with these female energies, and they're like, "Is you're familiar, and we support everything about you. We support it. But you need to, like, fully embrace this other side that you have yet to explore." And I am absolutely terrified to do that. And I don't know why, because normally I'm not. But I think it's just uncharted waters.
You know what's interesting? And I think, I didn't get to tell you this. Do you remember the other night when you were here, when Darian was here a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
And you asked me and him to walk you to the subway.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, when you asked me to walk you to the subway, not that I had cared, but I was, when you told me why, I actually almost forgot. Like, I forgot that, because I'm so used to Jay, he, his.
Right. Because basically,
and
I
was
just
like
being a visibly queer person.
And then when you did that,
night.
I was like, it was like, doop, and like a light clicked, and I was like, oh shit.
I know what you mean, because I also sometimes forget. Like, I saw my mom recently, and I was trying to catch her up on my life, and it was just hard to use female pronouns in regards to myself in this, like, story that I was telling her.
Yeah.
It was difficult. So, there are times where I also forget, and I think it's starting to get to a point where it's, like, it's affecting me a little bit. I'm not saying I'm gonna, like, you know, go off the deep end about it, but, like, it's affecting me a little bit because, I don't know, I think I tend to, like, have moments where I disassociate from myself to where, you know, someone would be like, someone will use my birth name, and someone will just, and it's okay, because, like, they don't know I'm trans or whatever the case is, or, like my roommate, Katie, like, she'll use my birth name because she's like, I'm using that name until you fully just come out in all aspects. She's like, because that's just, it's too much for me to navigate. And I'm like, that's okay. That's fine. Because I never asked anyone to start using Jay or Jason or anything.
You never did.
Everyone just started to, which I appreciate, but that's why I'm like, it's okay. Like, if you slip up, because you all decided to do this on your own and I didn't say anything.
That is really true. You never did. I mean, let's be real. Early in the video, when we had a pause, and I came in, I was like, "I'm sorry, I misgendered you."
Yeah.
But it was really just because we, like, you know, when you're excited and you're not thinking,
oh, yeah.
And I accidentally said her instead of his.
Yeah, but we do that all the time, though, just in normal conversation. So it's just like it's an extra sticking point if someone's trans or something, because you're like, "Oh my god, I didn't mean to offend you."
Well, that's why I didn't make, like, a lot of trans people I've known are like, "Don't make a big deal out of it. If you do it, just say sorry and whatever, move on."
Exactly.
You know, which is what I do. I don't try to be like, "I'm so sorry, I'm such a horrible person." Like, it's like, shut up.
It's like, it's just extra, and we don't need it.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I do also tend to forget. Sometimes I forget my own transness, and sometimes that's all I can think about. So I have, like, two extremes. But I'm getting to the point where I am starting to be so fully embraced into maleness and male identity and being perceived as male and all these things, that when someone uses my old name, you know, my legal name as of right now, you know, when someone uses that name or refers to me in that way, it's very jarring. And then it makes me want to, you know, for like that spiritual healing, you know, because you're like, "Oh, that hurt." Even though they weren't doing it to be hurtful, you're just like, "Oh man, that's a thing." Now I'm now reminded of my inadequacies. So, that makes me, you know, look for that spiritual, like, guidance. And I always run to my goddess. Always. And lately she's been like, "You need to stop running to me. Because I can only do so much for you. You need to go to him."
A different kind of energy is what she's telling you to look at.
Mm-hmm.
To acknowledge a masculine energy inside of yourself.
Yeah, and I've been tiptoeing my way up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it definitely feels like it's... Because I think for me, masculine energy is more... You know how they always say, like women's mystery and stuff like that? Like, there's nothing super mysterious to me about that. But, like, I feel like male energy, to me, the divine masculine, it's way more mysterious. And just the social nuances
yeah.
of men is way more mysterious.
I mean, and I really think that, you know, I mean, all of that, what you're talking about, like, the mysteries, the male mysteries, the female, the women, the you know, the feminine mysteries, whatever, they are about your own experiences. You know,
yeah.
they are about... that literally you know what is something that you what do you find more mysterious about it. You know that I also kind of clung to female deity when I first started this, just because I don't have the greatest relationship with
your father figure.
Men, yeah, my father figure. It took me a while to realize, like, this male energy is just as healing. Just
that it can
different.
Be nurturing
mm-hmm.
instead of just demanding
yeah.
or commanding. I always thought that male energy was very almost negative.
Yeah, I mean, not intentional. That wasn't
yeah.
intentional. I attached it to negative experiences.
Yes. I think I did the same. But now I'm okay. I'm not, like, 100% great with it. But, like, I feel like I can invoke that energy. And I think I'm okay slowly invoking it, maybe perhaps in maybe in a sexual aspect. I think that, because I think that's, like, the easiest gateway
mm-hmm.
to begin to
yeah.
invoke that sort of energy. But definitely in a sexual aspect. And then... I'm starting to invoke it in a social aspect.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of what I do socially, you know, in social circles, especially with people I don't know. Like, with people that I'm familiar with, like, whatever. You know, like, I understand. I was socialized female. I have feminine qualities. I was never super feminine. I was always very, you know, mannish, boyish,
yeah,
whatever.
But I know what you're saying.
But, like, I can be like, hey, baby.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure, like, I could be, like, nude around you, and it would be, like, not a big deal. I'd
mm-hmm.
be like, you're naked, I'm naked, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't be a big deal. So, yeah, I mean, that's sort of my exploration with masculine. I used to view it as a negative thing. Now I'm definitely warming up to it.
It took me a while.
Because it was very
yeah.
overbearing. I think it's more intense. For me.
Right.
Than feminine energy.
It's funny because, I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm all the way through that, but in the sense that, like, I'm okay with the spiritual parts of masculine energy. Now it's just men. Like,
men.
Physical,
oh, like men.
Cisgendered human males. It's cisgendered heterosexual human
the
males.
The horned god is fine. The epitome of masculinity is fine, but men... I spit...
It's not even that I spit on you. It's like, are you normal or are you going to be violent? Are
Ooh.
You going to be...
toxic.
Yeah. And that's where I am
are
with...
Are you like the clean masculine or like the toxic masculine? That's a big fear that I have, is dipping and slipping into toxic masculinity. Maybe perhaps without realizing it. I'd like to believe that I'm a very self-aware individual, and I can, you know, I can see signs before it happens, but sometimes I find myself, like, I see trans men that, you know, are, like, basically, like, they're not on hormones, and they don't have surgery, and they'll wear, like, a dress, and they have, like, full makeup on, and they look very androgynous slash feminine, and they're like, I'm a man, and I'm like, that's great. Like, good. I'm glad that you are incredibly comfortable with that. But I wouldn't know that you were a man at face value. Unless you said something.
So, like, have you ever acknowledged in yourself that maybe you've had some, I guess, prejudices that yes. maybe would be very stereotypically male?
Yeah, I think I've definitely had that.
Yeah, I've noticed some stuff, too. I mean, I have stuff, too, but, like,
yeah.
I've noticed it in you, too.
Yeah. And I'm trying to be self-aware of that.
Which is great. I'm very thankful that you told me that, because there were times where, like, you said, I guess, problematic things. And, like, I would, like, look at one of our friends, and I'd be like, yeah.
Sometimes I just get ragey, and I just get on my soapbox, and yeah. I need to preach about my bullshit. Yeah.
I mean, I'm almost too careful these days, though. Like,
I know. It is very difficult. Which is why, like, doing this podcast in general, I'm like,
It is very difficult. I think, I guess, you know what? That's a good thing to say here.
Yeah.
You know, understand that we are people and we're not infallible. And we're going to say either our opinions might be harsh or we might, for instance, there may most likely be another point in time where I accidentally say her to Jay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean it, obviously. So things like that just happen because people are people and they're not perfect.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the topics that we talk about, I feel like anything, especially when it comes to two things, okay? So the witch community itself is very opinionated, okay? And the queer community is also very opinionated. And we have decided to take both of those things and put them into one thing.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful thing, but it's also taking very opinionated people and sort of like being like, hey, this is what we think and we're throwing it out at you. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I just, you know, like, I think it's just that we knew what we were getting into.
Yeah.
Given the current state of the witchcraft community, given the current state of queer community and just our political nature in America right now, I think we kind of knew what we were getting into, but because we knew what we were getting into, because of all of those things, I think that's why now is the perfect time to do it.
Yeah.
Because I think we are capable of navigating well.
Right.
These concepts, right. Because honestly, we respect everybody.
We really do. We're incredibly inclusive.
Like, our entire coven is queer. Everyone.
To varying tons of different degrees of queerity.
yes. Everyone, like, we got
the rainbow.
We got a lot going on.
We do.
And when we're together, we're very mindful of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I mean, and for multiple things. Like, I know you and Bridgie have always been super mindful of, I live with mental health complications, so you guys have always been very mindful of, like, my triggers
mm-hmm.
and things that would set me off. I mean, and that's just, you know, mental health stuff, which
yeah.
we can also talk about mental health and practice of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
But
definitely we can talk more about just being in a queer coven, for sure.
Yeah.
But, I just feel like it's important to kind of note that, you know, we are dealing with, this is a hugely loaded topic.
Yeah.
You know, what is masculine, what is feminine? I mean, I think ultimately the answer is it is what it is.
And incredibly interpretable?
Yes, it is your experience is what it is.
Yeah, it you know, it is. It is what it is. It's your own experience. And I think especially for queer people across the board, no matter, you know, LGBTQ+, whatever your identity may be, finding those energies inside of yourself and what they mean for you.
Exactly. So I don't think our intent behind this episode was to actually define what is masculine and what is feminine. I think
right.
it was more about I think I like the fact that we really didn't come down to an answer, because honestly there is no answer. The answer is the divine masculine, the divine feminine, or just the mundane masculine, mundane feminine is literally how you interpret it.
Right.
But the key is to not let it wander into toxic territory. Because
right.
your interpretation is your interpretation. That does not mean it is the only
interpretation. Right. You know, and I mean, like, you know, it's funny because this topic is actually backed by a lot of very thousand-year-old, like, in the Western tradition of, esoteric Taoism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of, like, yin and yang.
Yeah.
Those concepts are incredibly deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously popular culture, they give us, you know, this kind of watered-down version. However, that came in with, like, cold and hot, and wet and dry, and...
I feel like humanity in general, I mean, because we do. We summer, have night, winter. We have day, we have sun, we have moon. I mean, we have land, we have sky. It's, we're very, you know, there's up and then there's down.
And then, of course, then there's the sea.
Yeah, and...
it's kind of in between,
but liminal space. But the sea space. Is in between, but it's fluid.
Right? Fluid. I think that's the perfect word to use here.
Exactly.
It is fluid,
right,
and that
because
is...
because the sky is the sky, and then the ground is the ground, but then you have the sea in the middle, which is... exactly. It's that in between.
That liminal space.
It's kind of solid, but also it's kind of earth and kind of sky. Is how I view the sea. You know,
I mean,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's,
I mean, you know, yeah, I like that, actually.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. It's like a very poetic way of looking at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, that this, the yin-yang symbol,
mm-hmm.
that we're all aware of.
Yeah.
That is supposed to represent, you know, not just the light and dark, you know, the light that is in darkness and the dark that is in lightness, you know, it's also supposed to represent the masculine that is within the feminine that
mm-hmm.
which is in the masculine, and each one carries the other.
Exactly. So I mean, I think it's important, you know, as someone who may be more predominantly masculine identifying, or however the case is, it is also incredibly important to work with the opposite energy.
Yeah. Get out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
Because
you will learn a lot about
yourself. You learn more in general when you're uncomfortable. In particular, when it comes to the occult and the spiritual, you learn more that way.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want to kind of wrap this up a bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, even though I know it was a pretty heavy topic, I really hope it leads to discussion, compassionate and thoughtful discussion.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I think I do want to end this with is just as a heads up, negativity, arguing, fighting, bickering, sniping won't really be tolerated on any of our social media. However,
it'll just get deleted.
However, we do fully support educated discussion. You know, if we say something that may be inaccurate, please come to us and say, hey, this is actually not true. Give us, like, you know, sources and things like that.
Oh, yeah, talk
to us. And, you know, do that for each other. You know, talk to each other. Talk to us. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So with that, we'll see you next time, guys.
See ya.
Hello, everyone. Scott here. I've been reading tarot for over 10 years. I am an intuitive reader. And through my readings, I try to give guidance to aid my clients in navigating their lives. To schedule a reading with me, you can find me on Facebook at Witchwise Seer and Witch. You can also find me over on Instagram and Tumblr with the handle Witchwise, spelled WYTCHWYSE. You can find links to all of my social media in the show notes. I hope to hear from you.